Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. Now today, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And my text is verse 21. I'll deal with some other verses in that passage to give you the context. But 2 Corinthians 5:21, the title of the message is Sin and Righteousness. Sin and Righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And again, let me take this opportunity to invite any of you who are listeners of this program and who live close enough to visit our worship services at Eager Avenue Grace Church. We have a 10 o'clock Bible study on Sunday morning and an 11 o'clock main worship service on Sunday morning. And we invite you to come and visit us, Eager Avenue Grace Church at 1102 Eager Drive in Albany, Georgia, where I pastor. So we invite you, and then we also invite those of you who don't live close enough, if you don't have a church to go to, if you got a computer, not only can you watch this program as you're doing now, but also you can watch our services on live streaming at the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning, live streaming on the internet. You can go to our website at www.rofgrace.com. and connect to those services as they are going on. So we invite you to do that. Let us hear from you, and we'd love to just get to know you. But that's my invitation to you. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, this verse is a very controversial verse as to its meaning. But what I want us to do, it's a verse that in one verse, it kind of states the heart of the gospel. And it says in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "For he," now the "he" there is God the Father, "he hath made him." The "him" there is Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate. God the Father hath made him to be sin. Now, you might notice if you have the authorized King James Version that the "to be" is in italics. What that means is that the King James translators added those words, and sometimes, and most of the time, they did a great job as they were providentially guided in their translation. There's some things that I think need to be changed, but what that means is they tried to do it to make sense of the language so that as you read it in English. But some people read it this way: "For he hath made him sin." God the Father actually made Jesus Christ sin. And he says he did it for us. Now the "us" there has to do with his people, believers. This is not teaching that God made Christ sin for everybody without exception, as some people would say today. And the reason that's important now is we need to understand what makes the difference in salvation. What makes the difference between saved and lost. And we need to understand, it's not us, it's not me or you, who makes the difference. It's Christ who makes the difference. Now, there's a difference in this sense. There are unbelievers and there are believers. Unbelievers are those who are left in their natural state. Believers are those who have been given the gift of faith to believe in Christ. And they evidence that He died for them. You say, "Well, that doesn't seem to be fair." Now listen to me. We can talk about matters of that from the Scripture. But the Bible deals with that in several passages, especially Romans chapter 9. What we have to understand is that all of us by nature If we are left to ourselves and our own desires and our own will, we would never come to God. We would never believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think you would, you don't understand these issues of sin and righteousness. But he says this, he hath made him sin for us, who knew no sin. Now, who knew no sin doesn't refer to us. It refers to Christ. Christ was made sin. But Christ himself knew no sin. Well, does that mean that he doesn't know what sin is and what it's about? No, he knows exactly what sin is. But this word know, the word knew and know in the New Testament many times and in the Old Testament, it refers to an intimate experiential knowledge of someone or something. For example, back in the Old Testament, it talks about how Adam knew his wife. Now, that means more than he just knew her name or knew who she was or had some kind of a mental knowledge of her. It means that he loved her. It means that he was intimate with her. And yes, it does involve, even in that relationship, because it's between a man and a woman, the sexual relationship. He knew his wife. In the Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it is, it talks about how God knows his people. And that's more than just God knows who they are. You know, a lot of people try to describe God as somebody who looks down through a telescope of time and he sees what will be. That is not the God of the Bible, folks. God knows his people. How does he know them? He knows them in love. He loves his people with that divine electing love. He chose them before the foundation of the world. He knows them. He has an intimate relationship with them spiritually in their salvation. They are his children. You know your children. That means more than you just know their names. That means you love them. You care for them. You provide for them. And that's the way God knows his people. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So what it's saying here in 2 Corinthians 5:21 is Christ never had an intimate experiential knowledge of sin. He was never a sinner. He never was made sin in some other way that would cause him to be contaminated or corrupted. He never had a sinful thought, a sinful desire. He never had a sinful motive or goal. He, in all of his experience as God-man, even in his human nature, he never knew sin. Now, it says in verse 21, for God hath made him sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The we there has to do with those who are made the righteousness of God in him. So that's not referring to everyone without exception. If it were, then you'd have to say that everyone without exception is made the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about sin and let's talk about righteousness. What is sin? Do you understand what the Bible teaches about sin? Well, the Bible uses different words to describe the issue of sin. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, and in the New Testament, the Greek word for sin, the main two words in the Old Testament and the New Testament have to do with this. Sin is missing the mark, missing the standard, falling short. We all quote the verse in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, falling short of the glory of God. And of course, what is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is the person and work of Christ. In other words, we don't measure up to Christ. We don't measure up to the standard of righteousness, therefore it's sin. And that's the most common word in many forms having to do with sin, sinning, being a sinner. That's the word here in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him sin. That's missing the mark. Falling short. Christ who knew no sin. Christ who never missed the mark. You could say it that way. Now there are other words for sin in the Bible. You could talk about the word transgression. Transgression means breaking the law. All sin is transgression of the law, breaking the law of God. That's why there is no salvation for any sinner by deeds of the law, because we're all lawbreakers. We fell into sin and death in Adam, ruined by the fall. And that's why there's only one way of salvation, that's to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. Christ's blood is what pays the debt. That's another word for sin. It's a debt. In other words, whenever we sin, it's like running up a debt to God's law and justice. We know that in our human courts, our human legal society, because whenever somebody commits a crime and they're sentenced to prison, we say when they finish their sentence, what do we say? They've paid their debt to society. Well, as sinners, you see, we run up a debt to God's justice. And what is the debt? How can the debt be paid? Well, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth must surely die. That's what the Scripture says. You see, good intentions and good works will not pay for sin. I've heard people say, well, when I get to judgment, God's going to weigh my good works against my bad works. And if my good works outweigh my bad, I'll be okay. No. The wages of sin is death. And plus the fact, too, that the Bible says that because we're sinners, we have no good works in God's sight. Now, that doesn't mean we can't be moral. It doesn't mean we can't be religious and dedicated. But we still miss the mark. You say, well, I heard a man tell me one time, he said, I just love everybody. And I told him, I said, well, first of all, you don't even know everybody. But let me say this. If you think you love everybody, do you think you love everybody all the time, 100%, 24/7, perfectly, without any thought of hate, without any thought of revenge, without any thought of harm to your worst enemy? I don't think many of you would say, oh yeah, that's me. No. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you love everybody perfectly, you're not a sinner. You don't have to worry about what I'm saying. In fact, go watch something else. You don't need this program. Now you know that I know better than that, and you know better than that. I had a man tell me one time, he said, I just don't believe we're all as bad as you say we are. Well, I'm just telling you what God says, what the Word of God says. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is breaking the law. Sin is crossing the line. You've heard the word trespass. You go out in the field and you come up on a sign that says no trespassing. It means you can't cross that line. Well, trespasses, we've crossed the line. God drew the line in the sand. He said, Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, in that day, dying, thou shalt die. Adam crossed the line. We crossed it with him. And that's what sin is. You've heard the word iniquity. Iniquity comes from the word equity. It means equals out. Equity. If something is equitable, it equals out. Iniquity or inequity means it doesn't measure, it doesn't balance. In other words, we're imbalanced. Nothing we do measures up or balances out to the righteousness that God demands. And that's what sin is. Now, my point is this. Sin is not a substance. I've heard people say, well, you've got sin pulsing through your veins. No, I've got blood coming pulsing through my veins. Now, sometimes the Bible describes sin with a metaphor. Now, you know what a metaphor is. That's symbolic language. And I'll show you an example of that back in the book of Genesis, chapter 4 and verse 7. This is where the Lord is talking to Cain, who had brought the works of his hands to God to be accepted. And he told Cain in verse 7 of Genesis 4, he says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now, God told Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. What was it to do well? Well, it was to do like Abel did, bring the blood of the lamb. You see, doing well is established there. As far as salvation goes, how do we do well before God for salvation? We plead Christ. We believe in Him. We rest in Him. We plead His blood, not our works, not our wills, not even our faith. We plead Christ. We plead His righteousness. We're submitted to His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted as our only ground of salvation. And he said, if you don't do well, sin lieth at the door. Now, does he literally mean there's a bunch of sin out there at your door piled up? No. What he's doing, he's using a metaphor. And the metaphor there is like a roaring lion ready to devour you. In other words, if you don't have Christ, sin's going to devour you. And it'll be for your desire, and you'll have to conquer it. That's what he's telling Cain, which is an impossibility. My friend, I'm telling you right now, you don't have it in you to conquer sin. Only Christ can conquer sin. But that's what sin is. And sin is a debt. Now go back to 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." How was Christ made sin? Now this is where we get into the debates. We get into so much that is so off the wall. Well, the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians 5, he's talking about the judgment. He started out this whole chapter talking about how believers will eventually appear before God at the judgment. This will put off this earthly tabernacle, this physical body, and we'll put on a new body. That's the new body and the resurrection body. And then he says over in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now that's not judgment based on our works or judgment by our works. It's the judgment of our works. The works that a believer does, are they good or bad? Well, in Christ, they are washed in the blood of Christ. They are accepted of God in Him. And he says in verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we're made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." What he's saying there is this: we know the terror of the Lord. Now, what is the terror of the Lord? The terror of the Lord is this, my friend. It is standing before God at judgment on your own, pleading your own works. Because you know why that's a terror? That's death. That's damnation. The terror of the Lord is standing before God at judgment without Christ. You see, our only hope of being declared, and that's what this is. It's not, this judgment doesn't determine anything. That's already been determined. This judgment is a declarative judgment. The only way that I can be declared before everybody righteous in God's sight is as I stand in Christ by the grace of God, washed in His blood, and clothed in His righteousness. No other way. And the works that I do are the fruit, not the cause, not the ground, but the fruit of His grace. They evidence my standing in Christ. That's why they can be called good. You see, God's not going to save me, justify me, or reward me based upon how many good works I've done. That's not what the Scripture teaches. But an unbeliever who stands before God without Christ, he will be judged as unrighteous as bad, and his works will all be bad, and he'll be damned. So that's the issue. And so then he begins to talk about how Christ died for his people to accomplish this. What was he accomplishing? Righteousness. Remember down in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What is righteousness? Righteousness, like sin is not a substance, it's missing the mark. Righteousness is the mark. Righteousness is perfect satisfaction to God's law and God's justice. And what is the measure of righteousness? Where can righteousness be found? Well, he says, you're made the righteousness of God. And these two words, in him, in Christ. You see, Christ is the standard of righteousness. And if I'm righteous in God's sight, it's only by Christ, the merits of Christ, imputed to me. So what's 2 Corinthians 5:21 teaching? It's teaching that sin was imputed to Christ, the sins of God's elect. For us, he says, the sins of his people, the sins of his sheep. What does that mean, imputed to him? It means that all the demerit and debt of sin was charged, imputed, accounted to Christ. That's what it means that Christ is the surety of his people. He stands surety to pay their debt, put it on his account. And so the debt that I ran up in my fall in Adam and in my sinning on my life was charged to Christ. He wasn't contaminated with sin. He wasn't corrupted by my sin. He never had a thought of sin, but he was made guilty. He was made a curse for us. He was brought under the wrath of God justly for the sins of his people charged, imputed to him. And in the same way, on the other side, his people are made the righteousness of God in him. It's the righteousness of God imputed to them. In other words, the demerit, the debt of their sins was charged to Christ. The merit of his righteousness is charged to them. That's what this verse is teaching. And it's the righteousness of God. It's not the righteousness of man. Because Christ is the God-man. You see, that's what we need to be saved. We don't need the righteousness of men or man. That righteousness, even when Adam had it before the fall, was changeable. He lost it. But having been justified based on the righteousness of Christ, imputed, charged, accounted to me, that righteousness can never be taken away. It can never be contaminated. It can never be corrupted. It's the perfect righteousness of God in him. I stand in Christ. Paul wrote it this way in Philippians 3, that I may know him and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Righteousness is not a substance. It's measuring up to the perfect standard of God's law. And how can I, who am a sinner, measure up? Only as I stand in Christ. And therefore, I believe in him. I rest in him and his finished work. I plead his blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. I plead his righteousness, and I can sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Christ is the Lord, my righteousness, my only hope. And I hope that this message has helped you to understand. Study this in the Scripture. Go to other verses. This is what the Bible's talking about in the great exchange. Sin imputed to Christ, righteousness imputed to his people. For God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the heart of the gospel. the ground of salvation. And Paul talks about it there. He says that's how we preach in evangelism, to beseech sinners, come to Christ. You have no hope anywhere else. There's no hope in your works. There's no hope in your religion. There's no hope in your confession, your profession, your baptism, your aisle walking. No hope in those things. There's only hope in Christ and Him alone. Forsake all others. Repent of ever thinking that anything you thought, did, or tried to do would save you, wash away your sins, or make you righteous before God. There's no other way. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. We sing those songs. They mean something. Look into the Word of God. Look at the Scriptures to understand and pray that God will give you an understanding. Like that Ethiopian in the desert that Philip went to preach to. He's reading Isaiah 53 and Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man show me?" And Philip began at that same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus, God our salvation. Well, here's how the salvation works out. This is how Christ, this is what Isaiah 53 is all about. In God's servant, Jesus Christ, shall the many be made righteous in Him. And there's no other way. Christ taking the place of His people as their surety and substitute, and them receiving the benefit of what He accomplished on Calvary in finishing the work. And so we look to Jesus Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith, the author and the finisher of our forgiveness, the author and the finisher of our righteousness. No other way. This is the only gospel that saves. This is the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. This is the gospel, the only gospel, that deals with sin as it really is and righteousness as it really is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.